Hi everyone, it's Erica, the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast and blog. I'm really excited to jump into today's episode because I actually sit down and chat with my friend Annalise Wells. She is a single mom and safe beauty advocate. She formerly used to work for a couple nonprofits and as a Pilates instructor. So as you can see, she's always kind of been in the wellness world. But currently she works at Beauty Counter. And the way she describes it is that she still feels like she's working for a nonprofit because the company is mission-based and she's still advocating, educating, and measuring success in achievements, not dollars. She lives in Southern California, and when I recently took a trip with my husband to San Diego, I was able to meet up with her. We had lunch, and it was wonderful. We had originally connected just from vlogging, so it's really cool when you get to meet other bloggers in real life, especially when they are across the country from you. So this episode's really great. She also talks a lot about raising her son, Ollie, who is just adorable, and how she raises him health consciously, and just me personally, I really adore her parenting style and how she chooses to raise Ollie and integrate all these health and wellness practices into his life. And I hope to do the same when I'm raising my little ones. So this episode is truly a breath of fresh air. It's the perfect way to kick off Clean Beauty Week. And just to recap, so Clean Beauty Week is taking place today through next Monday. That would be September 9th through September 17th. And basically just each and every day, I'm going to be either interviewing or spotlighting a different clean beauty company and talking about the ingredients that you should be avoiding in conventional brands and, you know, the harms that they're causing, such as like hormone disruption. I also have a lot of giveaways planned, a lot of Instagram takeovers. Annalise will actually be doing an Instagram takeover on Monday, September 10th. And you can ask her all your Beauty Counter questions or mom questions. She'll also be talking about other brands, but also Beauty Counter. And then one other thing I want to note. If you want to try out Beauty Counter, this is a really great week to do it because if you make a purchase using my link in my bio, then I will send you a free full-size product this week only. Just in celebration of Clean Beauty Week. So if you do decide to make a purchase, use my link. You can find the link in my bio on Instagram or on my website, bringyourownkombucha.com, and message me, or I might be messaging you first once I see the order come through, and I'll send you a free product, full size. So that's also really exciting. And then before we jump into today's episode, I just want to give a huge shout out to the company Lemon Bug. Lemon Bug is this awesome company. They're perfect for gifts. They sell a variety of items in their store from anything from anklets to chokers to bar necklaces to circle pendants to earrings to layered sets to mommy and me sets, which I have my eye on a couple that I want to snag for me and baby Lizzie. And if you use the code BYOK, you'll actually save a sweet discount. So head over there, check them out. They're a great company, and they also give back to pet charities. So that's another reason to shop through them. And now, without further ado, let's jump into this interview with Annalise Wells. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So for those who may not be familiar with your Instagram feed and your Beauty Counter consulting, would you mind giving us a brief background about yourself?
Sure. I'm originally from New England, and I live in California with my almost 5-year-old son. And with my Instagram, I guess specifically, I just focus on how to make healthier living simple, accessible, and fun. I feel like in this modern day, we've kind of made things, it seems like it's gotten a bit complicated to know how to just live a healthy life. So I try and model that.
I love it. So you are literally a wellness mama. I love following your Instagram, especially your videos with little Ollie, your son, and all that fun stuff that comes along with being a mom. Can you tell us, like, what really got you interested in living a healthier lifestyle? And I see that because I know every mom wants their kids to be healthy and, you know, live a healthy lifestyle. But there is definitely a difference between, you know, taking that extra step and making sure, you know, that certain foods are organic and that, I mean, you're even teaching him how to, like, grow food and things like that. So can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. I feel like it's a little bit of a learning curve, but once you get into these habits, it's easy to incorporate healthy foods and a healthy lifestyle into just your everyday life. Becoming a mom, and like all moms, we want to do the best we can for our kids. And I had seen, you know, there are some parents who kind of go to one extreme where they cut out everything and they're, you know, they're purist. And I always kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I'm a Libra. I aim for balance. So for me, it was about, okay, how do I start my son off right? And, you know, start his palate so that he's not immediately, you know, with breast milk, there's a lot of sugar in there, and that's what, you know, humans are drawn towards. But, you know, when we would have, I started him on, you know, yogurt, his first taste of yogurt was plain yogurt. And I would put, you know, if it was over one, I'd put honey in there. Otherwise I would just mix in some fruit. I gave him fish at an early age. I gave him fish oil. He'll still have fish oil and he'll go, yum, you know, like straight off the spoon. It's kind of shocking. I'm like, I can't do that. but I just felt like if I could start him out not knowing about, you know, Oreos and, you know, and just other kind of sometimes foods, we call them, then it would make incorporating healthy food on a daily basis easier. You know, it's kind of like if you just don't even bring it into the house, it's not an issue. But we talk about, you know, like I just said, sometimes foods. Like I love, you know, sugary foods and, you know, greasy foods and whatever it is. They're, you know, kind of fun foods. But it's every once in a while, because when you eat that stuff too often, you don't feel good. And I really do believe in food as medicine. So the more that we can broaden our palate and just be eating, you know, foods that are good for us, then the less we're going to need to see the doctor, the less we're going to feel unwell. I don't know. Does that answer my question of how I answer your question? Sorry.
Yes, totally. No, and I love that.
Yeah.
I love seeing, like, because you show a lot, I don't want to say a day in the life of, like, meals, but you definitely show us, like, what you're feeding your son, and it's so healthy, and I love it. Like, just like you're saying, you're, like, you're not just giving him Oreos, you know, you're really giving him, like, fruits and veggies and integrating it, and he definitely must have, like, somewhat of a sophisticated palate at this point, at least compared to me, because I definitely wasn't eating some of the things that he's now eating.
Yeah, he does. And I feel like what happens, or what has happened to, you know, to us, is that we have, like, really shortened the list of items that we eat on a regular basis. And even if you go to the grocery store, it's like the same foods over and over again. and we don't, you know, like we don't really venture out. We don't eat foods in their purest form. You know, so going back to like growing your own, one of the reasons why I live in California is because I so appreciate, you know, being able to be outside more often, being able to grow food on a, you know, year-round basis. And so, you know, so we'll go out and we'll grow things from seed, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. But, you know, he learns about that process and, you know, we'll taste things as they're growing. And he does, he has an appreciation for, you know, for a variety of food. And I do try and show kind of like a day in the life to show like I'm not slaving in the kitchen, you know, and it doesn't have to be some complicated thing. You can get things done in 5 or 10 minutes, and it still can be fun and healthy.
Absolutely. So where does, because I also have seen this in your stories, and I don't think we've actually ever talked about this. You have goats, or you take care of goats. Like, where does that come into play?
Yeah. So I have a friend who has a little mini farm on her property. And we go, and it's like, it's my zen place. Like, if I don't go once a week, I'm kind of off kilter. So we go, and we bring all our kitchen scraps, and we feed the goats, and she's got pigs and donkeys and chickens and turkeys. And my son and I talk about, you know, someday that's a goal of ours, to have a house with a little bit of land where we can have some animals. You know, and we always joke that my friend's house is where everyone will go if, you know, there's some kind of end of the world type thing happening. You know, because she is very, like, self-sustaining. She even has a vineyard, and we crush the grapes and do everything there. So, you know, definitely like, you know, house goals.
So cool.
Yeah, but I have my friend also will harvest, you know, the roosters. And I've had my son witness that and help. I did put a video up where I was, you know, plucking feathers off. So I try and teach my son that, you know, this is a circle of life. You know, we're not vegetarian or vegan, but I do try and, I pay more money to have, you know, meat that was raised humanely and was fed what the animal was supposed to be eating. And I try and teach him that, you know, to have an appreciation for the food that comes to our table and to know where it comes from. Because it's just something that's important to me. I don't want to take for granted the, you know, the sacrifice that these animals went through. I don't want to, I don't want to ever forget that this, that, you know, what we're eating was a living creature. So some people might think, you know, especially people that aren't, if you lived on a farm, then your kids were exposed to, you know, the slaughtering of animals on a regular basis. But for us in our modern day living, we're so removed from that. Our food comes in a package at the grocery store, and you never see it as, you know, what it once was. So the fact that I can have that experience with my son, I feel like I have to take advantage of it as much as possible. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. No, and I love that. It's funny because I actually just posted something yesterday. I reposted it from somebody else, and it said, actually, let me grab it really quick, because it was just like all my thoughts. I had went to the farmer's market that day, and my husband is very good about it now, but he used to like complain about how much he used to spend at the farmer's market and blah, 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 you know. And somebody posted this saying, and it says, people will pay $5 for one drink at Starbucks, but say $5 for a dozen organic free-range eggs is too much. And I just thought that was just part of the epitome of what you were saying. It's like, you know, you put your money where your belief and your ethics are, and, you know, personally, I'll pay extra for the free-range eggs, because I know, you know, that's where my ethics are, and that's where you know, I want to put my money behind. If $5 yeah. really isn't that much, I know you can get at the grocery store for like $2.99, you know, but they're not organic, they're not free range. And how easily will you just blow $5 on a Starbucks drink just because you yeah. want it? You know, meanwhile, these eggs will feed you for a week or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That drink is actually most likely loaded with sugar and taking away from your health, where the $5 eggs are added to your health.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So your like, goals of being a wellness mama don't really stop at, like, the food aspect. You're also very big into non-toxic beauty since you are a beauty counter consultant. So can you tell me a little yeah. bit about why you were drawn to Beauty Counter as a company and why you decided to take that jump and become a consultant?
Yeah. So about, I don't know, it was 4 years ago at least, where I was looking for mascara. And at the time, you know, there were versions out there. And I came across Gwyneth Paltrow's blog, her website Goop. And I saw Beauty Counter featured on that. And I just thought, wow, this is a company that, you know, I can feel confident and feel secure purchasing from. I used to really, you know, I used to shop at Farmer's Market, and there was a co-op in my town where you know, you could walk in and you know that they have researched everything before you bought, you know, before they put it on the shelf. And if something happened, like if a big conglomerate bought out a small company and they started making changes, they would, you know, stop carrying it, you know, if the integrity of the product had changed. So I felt that way with Beauty Counter. And I still, you know, I do feel that way with Beauty Counter, but that's how I first became introduced to them. Beauty Counter is a company that it really lives its values, and it's trying to change the law. So basically, backing up a bit, I went to school for psychology. I used to work in nonprofits, and I always, again, I guess this all comes, it all ties together. It's like food is medicine. I feel like you have to get to the root of the problem. So with the beauty industry, one of the issues is that there's barely any regulation. So what Beauty Counter is trying to do is get the laws changed so that if you can only afford to shop at the dollar store, you're still going to have access to safe products. They may not be the most high performing or effective products, but at least they're going to be safe and free from harmful ingredients. So, I feel like I just kind of went in a runaround, but I'm just like, kind of realizing that at the end of the day, it's all, you know, getting to basics and fixing things from the beginning of the problem. And that's what I love about Beauty Counter.
I love it. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, but Beauty Counter is actually, you know, kind of working hand in hand and pursuing legislative reform because they, you know, want not only to be putting out non-toxic products, but they want everybody to be putting out non-toxic products, which kind of just says something about the company in itself that, you know, they want to work with other brands, not just, you know, be the sole proprietor in fighting for better laws. They are willing to work with their competitors to, you know, bring a non-toxic beauty regime to, you know, America as compared to other countries.
Yeah, so Beauty Counter has actually created what they call a counter coalition. And basically, we're doing things. So Beauty Counter is woman-owned, woman-led. And I feel like this counter coalition is very, you know, it's a very womanly thing to do, where we are linking arms with our competitors and saying, hey, we all want the same things. Let's work together to meet those goals. We know that, you know, when you're working to make a really big change, especially when you're working with government, the more voices you have, the more support you have behind your cause, the faster you're going to reach your goal. So Beauty Counter you know, the name Beauty Counter is because we are counter the beauty industry. So again, this, you know, linking arms with competitors and, you know, supporting our competitors in, you know, in what they're doing because it's in line with what we're doing. I feel like, you know, that is counter what is normal in the industry. But at the same time, it's also a very, you know, feminine way of doing business. And I love that. I love that Beauty Counter is kind of, you know, modeling this new way to be successful in business.
100%. Now, I don't think we actually disclose this information just for people who might not even know what Beauty Counter is prior to this. So can you just tell us what Beauty Counter sells and what's included in their line?
Oh, yeah. So we started out, I think, 5 years ago now with like 9 products. And now we have, how many? I think like 150 or so, maybe even more. It seems like this summer is like the summer of launching new products. But so we have skincare for all skin types. We have sun protection. We have a kids line and a baby's line. We have makeup for every occasion. We have shampoo. We have shower products. We have body lotions. So we pretty much cover your, you know, your personal care. We don't have deodorant. We've been working on it. People ask. But one thing with Beauty Counter is it does take a little bit of time for us to launch a new product because we have such high standards for performance and safety. We will never compromise one for the other. So, you know, if we find something that, if we create something and we're very happy with the ingredients, but it doesn't work, we're not going to put it out until it's a competitive product in terms of performance as well as safety.
I love that. No, that's a really good reason to kind of slowly introduce products as opposed to just rushing out and putting them out there when they're, you know, might not be up to par with what you want to have in aligned with your company.
Yeah.
I know personally, I love the Counter Sun. I've been going through it like crazy. I actually just need to put in another order for me and my husband. I have the face stick sunscreen. And my husband swiped that from me. It's in his golf bag right now, so I have to order another one. but what are your favorite 3 Beauty Counter products?
Oh, just 3?
Just 3.
Okay. My face changer is the cleansing balm. I'm one of those people who, if I can go to bed without splashing water all over my face, I will. So the cleansing balm has kind of forced me to give my skin some love at night. And it's basically like the oil cleansing method where you don't have to use water. You just put some on your face. You take like a chickpea size amount and you give yourself a nice little massage. I usually try and do at least a minute. And you just melt away and like massage away your makeup. And then you wipe it off with a damp cloth. And you wake up in the morning and your skin is still happy from that massage and it's like plump and moisturized and it's not stripped in any way. And I feel like it has made a huge difference in my skin. Again, because I am not great about washing my face, we came out with these new makeup remover wipes. And they are awesome. They're great to throw in your bag. Like for after yoga or, you know, at the gym. But they are with micellar water, and they don't leave a film on your skin. When I used to use other wipes that you get at the drugstore, I always felt like my skin felt kind of filmy afterward. So with these wipes, it takes off your makeup, but you're not, again, not left stripped and not left feeling greasy. Another new favorite that just came out is the resurfacing peel. Whenever I look for a mask, I always gravitate towards the fruit acid, the fruit peels, and I've tried quite a few. And even if I didn't work for Beauty Counter, this one would be my favorite out of all the fruit peel. It's so gentle. You can use it a few times a week. You don't have any redness. There's no flaking or anything like that. But you put it on cleansed skin, and then a few minutes later, you put on your nighttime cream or serum. And seriously, you wake up in the morning and you're glowing. So it's like that.
So, with that being said, why do you personally feel like using non-toxic makeup versus, I guess, like regular conventional brands is super important?
Well, it's something that I'm using every single day. Women especially, I think women use like 12 products, you know, in their morning routine, and teenage girl, I think, use about 19. So we are using, I think the statistic is that women will use a minimum of 12 products on a daily basis. Teenage girls are using, I think, about 19 is what they say. So it's something that we're using, you know, daily, multiple times a day. And then with the way our lifestyle is these days, we are bombarded with environmental toxins from multiple sources, and again, multiple times a day. So I guess it goes back to just the way, you know, that I look at wellness, where I feel like if we can be kind of creating a lifestyle where we're minimizing our exposure, you know, just minimizing what we have control over, because there's so much that we don't have control over. At least if I'm doing the best I can so that my body can defend itself, and so that my body can be prepared in case I do, you know, run into a really nasty flu virus, or, you know, or whatever it is. I guess that's kind of what I get back to. But with Beauty Counter and beauty products in particular, you know, it's something that over time builds up, these toxins build up in your system because we're using it every day. So the less that I can put on my body that's going to interfere with my body's normal working, I feel like the better setup I am for success.
100%. And I also think that, you know, it's worth noting that I feel like sometimes I have this argument with like family members or friends, and they're like, yeah, but like you can't prevent everything. And I'm like, but that's not the point. I'm not trying to prevent everything, but what I can prevent and what I can, you know, minimize my exposure to, such as using non-toxic beauty because my skin's going to absorb those chemicals. I think that's something that you really should contribute to, because it's important. And, you know, it's your health. Your health is everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so with the ingredients that are of issue, so people, because sometimes people be like, oh, I'm going to die of something. Exactly. We're all going to die of something. This isn't about, oh, you're going to switch your mascara and all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be the most healthy, you know, and live to be 105. That's not it. But these ingredients that, you know, we're trying to avoid, they're linked to endocrine disruption. So your hormone system, they're linked to cancer. So it's kind of with everything that we're exposed to, it's not necessarily that it's this one thing that is going to, you know, give you a specific diagnosis. But it is this combination, this like toxic cocktail that we're exposed to on a daily basis that builds up slowly over time. And then at some point, there's a tipping point and your body goes, I can't do it anymore. And okay, now we're having thyroid dysfunction. I can't do it anymore. And, you know, now there's like this unexplained weight gain and you can't run it off. I can't do it anymore. And, you know, and there's skin cancer, whatever it is, it's like, it's not one thing that's going to, like I said, create a specific diagnosis, but it's just our lifestyle today is is filled with toxins. So, you know, it's like, what can I do to just make it a little bit easier, to relieve a little bit of the pressure, you know, from my body to function optimally?
100%. And that's actually, you know, the prime reason that I recently joined Beauty Counter as a consultant with you, because I, you know, firmly believe that we all should be minimizing the harms in our life. And I want to be a part of, you know, spreading the word and introducing non-toxic options that I think a lot of people don't even know exist. So would you mind just talking a little bit about Beauty Counter and their structure and how they may differ from your typical MLMs?
That's a great question. A lot of people will, a lot of people have this like kind of negative feeling about MLMs. And I get it because I've seen some of the ways other companies structure their compensation. So Beauty Counter allows customers to purchase directly from the Beauty Counter website. They can purchase from like our brand partnerships, like Goop, like Serena and Lily, like, you know, J. Crew we've done. Target actually approached us last year and asked us to come into their store for 9 weeks. So we did that. Or a client can purchase from a consultant. And people can choose to buy from me one day and buy from you the next day. So just with that, it's very different from the way other, you know, network marketing companies are set up. In addition, as a Beauty Counter consultant, I never have to purchase any product. Doesn't really make sense for me not to, but I'm not tied in to like a monthly, you know, any kind of monthly purchase. And we never ask our clients to enroll into any kind of auto shipment or anything like that. So for me, it was easy to say yes to the business opportunity because there wasn't this kind of like financial pressure, this, you know, I wasn't tied into buying something that I didn't necessarily want or need on a regular basis. I buy my products when I want them and I buy whatever it is that I want. In addition, if somebody buys one mascara from me, I make a commission off that. I don't have to, you know, coerce anyone into some kind of package or, you know, I don't have to tell them how to buy in order for me to make a commission. So I've heard from, you know, people that work with other companies that that's how it is on the other side. And so I think that some people have a bad taste in their mouth when they, you know, find that Beauty Counter, you know, does do the network marketing, the, you know, the MLM model, because they think it's some kind of, you know, they think it's some kind of scheme, you know, they call it. But the reason why we are set up this way is because Greg Renfrew, who is our CEO, she just knew that the department store model was on its way out. She knew that people were buying from recommendations from their friends. She knew that women, you know, women talk and women want to know, hey, what are you using? Oh my gosh, that lipstick looks great on you. What is that? You know, and we give our recommendations. We share products. So Greg decided to go with this model. She had no experience with it before. But there's also this part of Beauty Counter where we are counter, you know, we are different. And Greg wanted to make sure that people understood what we're about. And that story is best told, you know, person to person, friend to friend. If we were on the show at Neiman Marcus or Sephora, people wouldn't know what we're doing. People wouldn't know that we're fighting in Washington to try and get safer laws in the book. People wouldn't know that we are supporting laws that have nothing to do with the products we create. Like here in California, we are supporting a safer salon bill where we're trying to get the ingredients listed on all salon professional products so that the salon owners can make an informed decision as to whether or not they want to purchase that product. You know, and Beauty Counter doesn't sell salon professional products, but you know, again, we're supporting the overall movement towards disclosure towards, you know, transparency towards safer ingredients. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit off topic there. But yeah, Beauty Counter wants to give their clients and their consultants a lot of flexibility in the way they want to purchase and the way that the consultant wants to do their business. And so for me, like I said, joining was easy. There was really no, I didn't see any big risk in joining. And I'm so happy I did. And I'm so happy you joined us.
Me too. No, I totally agree with you 100%. I feel like there is a really big stigma behind MLMs and, you know, consultants and things like that. But Beauty Counter is definitely differentiated in the respect that, you know, they're fighting for Congress. They're fighting, you know, before Congress. And they don't have those, like, minimums to make a commission, and you don't have to buy any product as a consultant and yada yada yada. So I'm really glad that you pointed that out, because I feel like that's really critical for people to know before they just kind of shut it out as like that typical MLM stigma that, you know, is fairly common. And it's unfortunate because I feel like Beauty Counter is just such a positive company. It's always looking for growth. It's always looking to improve. And there's just nothing but positivity and high vibes surrounding it. So I really hope that people are able to see that.
Yeah. And I just thought of something that you had asked me before, and, you know, kind of like my why behind Beauty Counter. I would never have signed up if we didn't have this, like the advocacy piece to it. So I had mentioned briefly before that, you know, I used to work in nonprofit. I still feel like I'm working for a nonprofit as a consultant with Beauty Counter. And the reason I feel that way is because everything we do is driven by the mission to get safer products into the hands of everyone. So every day, you know, like every sale that I make, every conversation that I have, it's about education. It's about advocacy. And at the end of the day, it's like I measure my success, and Beauty Counter measures, you know, our success based on, you know, the people that are now informed as to what ingredients they should be, you know, avoiding. The people that have made the switch to safer, whether it's to Beauty Counter or another company that is, you know, in alignment with us. It's not about how, you know, not about the dollars. It's about the lives changed and the progress that we're making on a, you know, like on a federal, state and federal level. So I feel like even for people that aren't necessarily interested in, you know, in beauty products or aren't, you know, don't consider themselves sales people, it's just such a fun company to work for, because every day you know that you're doing something that's changing the world, really. So for that reason, you know, I feel like it's just another reason why it's easy to say yes to Beauty Counter.
I love that. I love that reasoning. So with that being said, kind of like coming full circle here, do you have any book recommendations or podcast recommendations when it comes to health and wellness, whether it be like non-toxic beauty or just kind of, you know, learning more about being a wellness mama or things like that?
Beauty Counter does have a blog, and it is the Asterix blog. And they're kind of like, you know, what's happening with Beauty Counter, and they'll give updates on legislation. Beauty Counter Hill Nerd, you can find her on Instagram, and that is Lindsay Dahl, and she's our lobbyist, so she has like all the nitty-gritty detail, up-to-date information with what's going on a state and federal level. I'm trying to think of who else. Gwyneth Paltrow, I get her stuff sent to my inbox. I think everyone should subscribe to Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
You're the sweetest.
And then actually there is a actual wellness mama. And we both have the same last name, which is Wells.
Stop it. And you guys have the same last name? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So Katie Wells is the actual wellness mama. And she has a podcast now. And she's super, like, she's super science-y, super into the research. So I really like listening to her because she gets, you know, she gets, like, kind of deep in there. So, yeah, that's who I listen to and read.
I love it. And can you tell everybody where they can find you on social media or contact you?
Yeah, I am at yourcorewellness at gmail.com. Wellness on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, but I'm not there often. That's probably the two easiest ways.
Perfect. And I do have one question for you left, and I feel like you know it's coming. What is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Ooh, my favorite flavor is going to be guava. I love tropical fruits.
Ooh, and do you have like a favorite brand?
There's a guava one by, who is it? I think it's GT.
I think you're right.
But I'm also going to throw out, yeah. Have you had that one?
I have. It's pink. I think it's pink.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But I want to shout out another brand. It's called Boochcraft, and it's here local to San Diego. And it is kombucha that you drink like a beer or a wine. So it's Buzzy Booch.
I'm so jealous. Obviously, I can't drink it right now because I'm pregnant. But we don't have that on the East Coast yet. And when we were in San Diego, I was like, oh, my God, I wish I could try this right now. And I can't even try it because I'm pregnant. And I don't know how to smuggle it back to New Jersey. So
I know the owners. I'll tell them that New Jersey wants some Boochcraft.
Please do.
Yeah.
Well, it was so great talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing all your knowledge.
Thank you for having me.